This is Remote Ruby.
Have you any remote idea to the meaning of the word?
Yo ho ho.
And a bottle
Yo.
Of rum.
What is
Pirate's Life for me.
Andrew, I haven't even asked. Why are you wearing sunglasses at 7 a.m.?
In the dark.
I got home this morning and I was like...
Wait.
It's Good Friday, so like no one's working today except for us for some reason. And I was like, I could go back to sleep right now. And then I started investigating Trump's latest crimes on the news. And then you texted me and I rolled out of bed and performed my ADHD super morning ritual.
What time did you get home?
5:30.
From where?
Out. Not at my home.
Were you on a boat?
I was, yeah.
Dope. Lots of boats in Arizona.
I'm on a boat.
Chris, thank you for looking normal this morning.
We've had our son homesick for 2 days. So last night I finally feel like I got some sleep and then shipped him off to daycare. So feeling free this morning.
All right.
Feeling free. Not because he woke up in America, but because he shipped his son off to daycare.
Those things are mutually exclusive, right?
I think so.
We put the boys, that's not true, one of our kids is in school. We put the other two kids in Mother's Day out, which every time I told someone that in Vegas, they just stared at me like, what is that?
I did it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd heard that name for it or whatever.
I think it's a Southern.
It's a Southern
United,
sure.
Southern Eastern United States yeah. Church thing. Yeah, it's just like a 2 day a week daycare for 6-7 hours to give the mom a day out. Which subsequently gives the rest of us a day out. So hashtag blessed. It?
Hashtag blessed.
I still work. So yeah, I love it. Not dad's day out.
Yeah. You need that at work. The day where you disappear from work and the kids.
Yeah. I did that Wednesday by getting sick. Started watching Oppenheimer.
It was a good
shit because it's 3 hours long.
I watched that. Not that long ago. It was pretty good, but it was long.
Really good.
On the other hand, I was seeing all the ads for the new Roadhouse movie.
Roadhouse.
I watched the original one, which was really good. New one, not quite the same.
It's got Conor McGregor in it, so.
The old one was actually really good from what, 79 or something like that? I forget when it came out. It was a long time ago.
Do you want to hear something absolutely stunning, shocking. Yesterday, I needed to look up something about testing, and it was in Jobworthy where I used mini test. And
like a real man,
yeah, mini test. Instead of Googling my problem, I actually went to the Rails guides because I was there in the middle of changing them, and they've been better, and so. That's a pretty pivotal moment for me because I've been trying to avoid the Rails guides for the last 5 years.
Nice.
But I needed.
I really like the design and stuff on the new Edge guides. It's just clean.
Clean.
There isn't really any like layout or whatever too much. There's nav bar content in the sidebar and it's just easy to go through that and just read it like a blog almost.
And the content's getting better.
Yeah.
It was nice.
I'm looking forward to the embarrassing. I would consider this embarrassing that so many of the Rails guides are marked with work in progress, where that stuff like Action View is still marked as work in progress. It will be done soon. I know a couple of PRs came out for that to be reviewed, but that's a feature of Rails that's been around since the very beginning. That guide probably shouldn't still be a work in progress.
And now it is a work in progress.
Yeah, now it's officially a work in progress, which will no longer be a work in progress very soon. I always thought that was funny, where it's like, well, if anybody new comes to Rails and they're like, huh, these core features of Rails, not finished or something? Well, it just seems funny to put that label on these guides that have been around for years and years and years. It's making some big headway, I think, with the Rails Foundation, which is good.
I'm happy to see it. They've done a really good job on that. Amanda's been killing it, releasing updates and stuff. So shout out to everyone who's working on that project right now.
And what are you working on, Andrew?
Me?
It's Hangover.
I'm working on myself. I see. Yeah. I'm working on React. My beautiful plan just broke down completely on three components, and I'm actually kind of tilted about that.
You would have been tilted if it worked, because I've heard you say, like, I'm tilted once a day for the last 3 weeks.
But I am angry at least once a day.
Okay. So let's just go ahead and talk about Andrew in Vegas. What we can talk about on the podcast. Oh,
yeah. Okay.
Because holy
so
hell.
So what happened there isn't staying there?
Not some of it has
needs to.
Legally, some of it has to. But we went to Sin City Ruby last week. It was, if you haven't guessed, in Las Vegas, been on by who I referred to at the conference as Jason number one, Jason Sweat. And Andrew came to the conference, drove over from Arizona, but didn't go to the conference. But man, didn't buy a ticket, but yet just hung out with all of us outside of the conference.
Oh, and I got a free room. Don't forget that.
Yeah, stayed with Drew Bragg for free. And then proceeded to brag about it the whole week.
Shout out Podia.
Oh, okay. I guess because they paid for his room because he was speaking.
Yeah, they paid for his room because he was speaking. And I was like, yo, bump that to a double. And Jason got the nicest room in the Ho Hotel. The whole hotel. Then the lady asked us if we wanted that upgrade too. And she's like, but y'all have to split the bed. And we kind of looked at each other, kind of worth it, but no.
Well, they asked me, I want to upgrade. You know, Tropicana shuts down a couple days actually now.
Yeah.
And I said in my head, they're about to give me this for free. Like, yeah, I want that upgrade. And she's like, that'll be $50 a night. And then I just sat there and looked at her. I was like, yeah, let's do it. And so it was nice. Nice as a room at a hotel that's about to be torn down in a week. And that first night, I realized when I was laying in bed that I was the only one on that whole floor. It was the 19th floor. And I thought, This is a horror movie. I'm going to get murdered.
Oh, my God. If I had known that, we could have gone skateboarding. Oh, my God. We could have had so much fun.
Oh, yeah, we could have. Yeah, I'm a great skateboarder.
I figured. I've heard that you'd be nollie tree flipping.
I don't know any of that means.
That's cool, though. Did you hear any ghosts?
Just my own. Years past. Then the next day, somebody told me at the conference that they offered it to him for $25 a night. And I was like, so ready to fight.
I would be too.
The conference was good. It's my favorite conference, I think.
I enjoyed it.
I know you did. You had no actual responsibility other than just working during the day in Vegas. The rest of the time, Andrew, we'll just put it this way, was pretending to be someone he wasn't to different people to understand how they think.
Yeah. I'm a people guy.
Andrew learned a lot about conspiracies,
yeah.
False narratives.
Yeah.
I was telling Drew or someone else, maybe it was Stephanie, I said, like, it was really funny listening to that. But then you would, like, make those jokes a couple hours later about what those people thought.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't tell if you were joking or if you had actually started to believe it.
No.
And then if I could describe spending 4 days with you in Vegas, pretty much the script is I was worried about you the whole year.
My favorite part of the whole trip is when I asked you a controversial question at dinner and you laughed the hardest I'd ever seen you laugh in my life. And that made me feel really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a little worried about your mental health at that moment. There were a lot of great people we met. Tim from Minnesota had a really cool story about how he got into programming through like data, big data. Frank, you weren't paying attention. You sat next to Frank at lunch one day, but I was actually worried because you were being so offensive.
What?
I wouldn't get to talk to Frank anymore, but luckily things chilled. We got to meet Chuck Smith in person.
Yeah.
Following Chuck forever. There's a lot of other people we met. It was good. It was fun. I live coded a talk. It was a disaster.
It was not a disaster. See, I woke up this morning and came to this recording to dispel these false narratives that Jason had a bad talk. I slipped into the conference illegally for Jason's talk, and it was really good.
It was fun. I thought I had live code, and I nailed the first 30% of that live code.
He really did, though. Like, it was freaking impressive.
And then the next 33%, It was like when a plane hits turbulence and maybe goes to like a lower altitude to try and get out of it. And you're like, all right, it's about to go back up once we get past this turbulence. All right, the moment of truth. And then Hotwire gave me a content missing and my hands froze and my brain froze. And I said, all right, we're out of time. We'll move on. And then we did the React version and I didn't have all the stuff I was going to copy and paste to save me all the setup work. And I had to do it by my memory, which wasted 10 minutes. And then the plane crashed.
The fact that you were able to remember most of that React stuff by memory, that was pissing me off. I'm not going to lie. There was a lot of haterade in the back. I was drinking. I was like, how's he able to do this? Why can't I do this? He's just writing functions without having to look up syntax right now.
Because I've written a lot of React. But I had fun. My talk title was something along the lines of how to build a fast, performant, real-time site builder in the world's slowest language and having
making
to use
hard
React.
Decisions, having to use React while building an interactive real-time site builder in Ruby on Rails, and you know your friends, coworkers, and family will judge and likely hate you.
Yeah, that was it.
Crazy.
It was good. My dress is Elvis.
That part anyway, was great.
Vegas was good. Tom Rossi was great.
Tom's awesome.
I was so ready to go to bed Friday night. My man's like, let's go. We went. Andrew, what were some of your favorite memories?
I got to see your talk. I always love seeing Jason talk. Some of his biggest
Jason
fan.
Sweat had no idea that you didn't have a ticket.
He's like, wait, you don't have a ticket? I'm like, you would have noticed me by now, Jason, I promise.
I saw there's a couple extra name tags, so you could have just grabbed one. Andrew Culver had one. I could have just marked out Culver and put Andrew too.
I went around and hung out at a lot of casinos, but I didn't gamble a single time because I was too incompetent to figure out how to spend money at a casino. So that
That's
was cool. I couldn't figure it out.
Well, at the Tropicana. 20. Oh, yeah, the Tropicana.
And then I went to the Hoover Dam, which was really cool to see a really cool
historical fight. Damn, how was that?
Dude, I got to see where Optimus Prime fought the Decepticons. It was pretty tight. It was actually really cool. The Hoover Dam is a really cool experience if you've never gone. Not a lot to do, but really, really big. Big damn!
Did you ever see the movie Vegas Vacation?
No.
Chris? Oh, guys. It was like Christmas Vacation, European Vacation. It was just one of those that came out in the 90s.
Like Lampoons?
Were those National Lampoons movies?
Yeah, Lampoons, like National Christmas Vacation, I think.
Yeah. The Griswold family is the same premise. Yeah. And Cousin Eddie goes with him to Hoover Dam. And the whole time, this isn't funny at all, but in the 90s, this was fantastic. And they're doing a tour of the Hoover Dam, and he just wanted to go fishing. And they would ask a question. He'd be like, yeah, where can I get some damn bait? But he just kept asking that question on and ironically. God, this is so frustrating because this was so funny and this is so uncomfortable. So, Chris, tell us something good.
I was just put on the spot here.
You don't know. Nothing good.
No. I mean, like, hold up.
I'm sure there's something. It's just too early in the morning.
Too early? Bro, you can't say that when you're on a call with me, dog.
You haven't slept, so...
No, I did sleep last night. Thank you very much. I'm going to get that out of the way. I slept last night. Enough. Slept 3-4 hours. I'm killing it.
That's all you need.
Enough sleep,
I guess.
You've got some conference talks coming up, Christoph.
Yeah.
BeConf AU. You've got RailsConf.
How long did you
Brighton.
Need... And they're all different talks, unfortunately. So
that's on you.
Prepare lots of things. Well, Brighton and RubyConf Australia are the same talk, but more tailored towards Ruby stuff. And then RailsConf is going to be on writing Rails plugins, engines, and RailTies. So it's actually going to be very similar, but a little bit more Railsy. So how long did your talk for SimCity take to prepare?
Started with another talk about Dragon Ruby until about a week and a half, 2 weeks before, in which I decided that that wasn't a good idea because I was going to live code Dragon Ruby. So I didn't actually decide on my talk topic until a couple nights before I left. And so then it took me about total, I probably put about 60 hours into working on it over like 6 days.
I was going to say, they take an awful lot of time to put a talk together.
It wasn't 60 hours over 6 days. I see you doing the math.
Doing math over here. I'm like, wait.
It's probably like more like 40 hours over 10 days.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say like 40 hours, I think, is my average, which is still a ton of time because it's a full work week to squeeze in outside of work, which sucks because that's a lot.
Well, I was slated to go after lunch. I wasn't as worried that I changed topics because I changed it to a topic I knew about.
Sure.
It was something I built. And then when I was like, shh, it's after lunch, I just have an hour's worth of slides about building a site editor in React. I'm going to go to sleep. So that's when I decided to live code. But the problem I had too is that I didn't just live code. I built a whole Elvis themed website and cared way too much about how it looked. So my two nights in Vegas leading up to it were me staying up stupid late, building the site editor, giving the talk, like building the whole thing, making sure the narrative worked, get reset hard 4 or 5 times. And that was so draining.
But you did it. What were some of your favorite talks or speakers?
At Sin City?
Yeah.
Honest to God, I was so excited for the plane ride Saturday, even though I had to get up at 4 just because I knew I'd have some silence. Some of my favorite talks, Andy Atkinson gave a database talk on Postgres. I always like that. Irina's talk was pretty good. It was on lessons learned and stuff like consulting, what a week looks like for her. Vlad gave a talk loosely based on his books, The Seven Deadly Sins of Rails, which is really good. I was bummed because I missed Tom's talk that morning because I was working on my talk, but I wanted to see that. Jerry Smith had a good talk. Pretty much everyone I saw was good. I saw all of them Monday. Obviously, Drew's is fun. If no one's seen Drew Bragg do his Ruby game show, it's so entertaining. I got every question wrong. It was awesome. So
I thought you were going to say right.
No.
But you've seen it before. You didn't remember any of it.
He changes it up.
He and I were actually talking about that. That's why I asked you, because I was like, how do you keep it fresh from conference to conference? And he was kind of explaining it. So that's interesting for you to say that he does change it up and it's enough to keep it exciting and interesting.
Let me be clear. Even if he doesn't change it up, if you ask me all those questions again right now, I would get them all wrong.
Yeah, it is the weirdest Ruby.
Cameron, I don't know Cameron's last name, works on view component stuff.
Dutra?
Yeah, he was there. I was really glad to meet him because we follow each other online for a few years. Because one of the questions I posed at the end of my talk was, if React, we're considering our options for moving away from React, and you've seen all the problems that led us here, like, if you have ideas for how we can get away from this, let me know. He raised his hand and just asked a question, not meaning anything, but he's like, if view component could run in the browser, would this solve your problem? And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I left that conference more mentally stimulated than I've been in a while, because I had a lot of really good technical conversations while I was there. And the one thing I'll mention is in the narrative of my talk, I talk about how we built our site originally. Like, it was all stimulus. We tried doing it with just view components and Reflex, which I used Turbo in the talk, and how that didn't work and what led to React. But when I was setting up the stimulus narrative in the hotel room the night before the talk, I was like, oh, actually, outlets might work for this. It'd be a good example of this. And then I realized it would have solved not all of our problems, but 70% of the problems we had, and immediately then made my talk just watered down my reason for like how we chose React. And I almost just gave up on my talk the night before. So shout out Stimulus Outlets.
This man live coded Stimulus Outlets without pulling up the docs. And that also pissed me off because I had one of those frustrating mornings my entire life of trying to get the controller names the right way and trying to figure out the Outlets API when it first came out. So congrats on that. You have one more hater in this world.
Haterade.
Yeah.
Let's take a moment to thank our sponsor, Honey Badger. If you're like most developers, too much of your time gets sucked up with downtime issues, troubleshooting, and error tracking. How can you spend more time shipping code and less time putting out fires? Honey Badger's how. It's a suite of monitoring tools specifically for developers. It's the only system that combines error monitoring, uptime monitoring, and cron and heartbeat monitoring into a clean, fast interface. Sure, you can get familiar with any interface, but why waste your time learning some Franken system interface that looks like an airline cockpit when what you really need is clarity and speed. You won't know if Honey Badger will really save you time and trouble until you see how it works in your own tool chain. With 2 lines of code in 5 minutes, you can see for yourself. Honey Badger automatically hooks into popular web frameworks, job systems, authentication libraries, and your front-end JavaScript, magic fixing errors before your users can even report them. That is a wonderful way to delight your customers. 5 minutes of your time with a free trial is all it takes to see if it will work for you. Just might be the best 5 minutes you've spent in a while. Check out honeybadger.io.
So your talk about the stimulus outlets, we had a little discussion about that. That also triggered me. Okay, I am getting a lot triggered here because upstairs working on React or about to start working on more React. And then you're like, yeah, we could have done this way simpler thing. And I'm like, I don't want to keep writing this.
Yeah, the problem is at the time that didn't exist. So like the way we did that kind of cross-controller communication was, I can't remember if it was Sam or Javon had posted just in a GitHub issue, like, oh, if you need to talk to another controller, you can be like this.instance.git controller by ID and element or and controller name. It wasn't a public API for it. It worked, but it kind of made things so difficult. Yeah, so it was still probably the best. Jamie even told me a couple weeks ago, like, we made the best decision we could at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll try not to react too hard to it.
You can use me as an outlet if you need a vent. It reminded me, I was working on the Tailwind stimulus components recently, and there are some things that stimulus really needs improvement on. It's just annoying to do a lot of things.
Likewise.
It would be really nice if CSS classes could have defaults. They don't currently. They could just values. And for some stuff like what we're doing, drop downs and tabs and whatever else, if we could just provide those as these are the hidden style is the default class for hiding and showing the menus or whatever it is, that stuff would be nice. I was also thinking it'd be interesting to have some sort of default actions that you could define in the controller so you didn't have to. If you have a drop-down controller, you have a button and you have a menu. The button doesn't really benefit from having the HTML with the data actions unless you want to customize it. And it would be really cool to say the button target gets these actions by default unless maybe you overwrote it or like set a flag to say don't include default actions or something. But it would just be like
a lot of boilerplate.
Yeah, it would just be so much easier if you just got the features and they just worked and then you could override them as opposed to like having to always manually specify it. So I did a little bit of that, but I ended up going back to just having you define data actions because there's no easy way to override that. We could add the default data actions, but we'd have to parse data actions and maybe merge with what you've set. Or let you override it or whatever. And so it seemed like something that would make that a lot easier, having some sort of official animation support or something would be great too, just a way to like define the animation name or something that you want to run for different events, opening or closing a menu. There's a library called EL Transition, which has issues and hasn't been worked on for a couple of years, that we like rewrote to try and get around some of those issues. And it's still not quite exactly what you want. And it's easier if instead of using CSS transitions, use animations in CSS or the JavaScript can tell it, hey, run this animation. That stuff seems more manageable. And I think that's actually how Alpine implements it. So the EL transition replacement that I ended up rewriting to fix some bugs ends up with the animations get interrupted and then you get an error saying whatever transition was aborted. And people think that's maybe a bug. It shouldn't raise an error, but it doesn't cause any problems. It just is like, hey, this was interrupted. We're letting you know that. But you can like interrupt animation or something and it's not going to complain about it and stuff. So I don't know. I was working on that stuff recently and was like, as nice as stimulus is, it still feels like the whole thing is just a little bit better than jQuery almost, where it's like you're still left with pretty much just a bunch of primitives. It could benefit from a higher abstraction level, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is I think they want stimulus to be primitive, but I reach for Alpine over stimulus whenever I can now. I know there's all kinds of like stimulus libraries and stuff people have written, but it's still so quick for me to do like nested fields. It has me nested fields where you just need to add a bunch of blanks. Alpine makes that stupid simple. And it follows one of the patterns that I actually do like about React, that is like the reactivity. It's all in the DOM, of course, but like you say, like, here's my list of items, and it's just an empty array, right? And then you write a template, and then it just automatically re-renders that. And it's just the state you're managing. When you click add new, you're just popping a new item into that array. Alpine knows how to render it. That mental model, maybe because I'm familiar with React, but it feels like it's just such a simpler mental model. You made a video many years ago about doing this with stimulus, and you've got to store that an extra template in the DOM.
Yeah.
And so like you're using Rails rendering, and then you have the template, and then like now, you click a button and clone
it. I was thinking about that yesterday randomly. So it's funny you bring that up, I think, because Brian Castle had tweeted about how Hotwire is not Railsy and not intuitive, which I agree with, especially with the frustrations I was having with stimulus recently. I was like, the template stuff, if you blend the turbo stream actions with your stimulus controllers, and maybe you have a template that you can execute with a stimulus controller, you click the add button, it could trigger a method in your stimulus controller, which could use a turbo stream action to do the insert or whatever. Right now, typically you're just going to be like, all right, I'm just going to do that from scratch in my stimulus controller and take the template and render it. But it would be really nice to have those tools more integrated together, I feel like, because they feel 100% separate right now, where like stimulus was written to live on its own. You don't need Turbo or anything for that. It helps write your JavaScript to be compatible with Turbo, but you don't really integrate at all. There's got to be something there that would allow you to do both a lot easier. So yeah, it just happened to cross my mind as I was fiddling with this stuff lately. And thankfully, the browser modals are like pretty well supported. So I started switching our modals, and actually, hilariously enough, turned out that our slide over component was inheriting from a dropdown, but really that's more of a modal because it lays over top of everything modally. And so I ended up switching that to there. But of course, the browser doesn't give you a way to, when you show modal on a dialog element, it display none to display block. You cannot transition that in CSS, which is just very unfortunate, but you can work around it and crap. But two steps forward, but one step backwards for some of that. At least the JavaScript for all that became basically a one-liner, which is nice. And you can use CSS animations, but not transitions, to animate some of that stuff. But there's a bug in Firefox that's been around for like 2 years that it just does not render the modal backdrop. So then the cheat was to like, oh, we'll put a box shadow that's 100% of your screen instead, and then that screws up rendering border radiuses, or they aren't as visible because there's a backdrop shadow and all this stuff. And I was like, I'm willing to live with the animation not being there yet, because I think the browsers will fix that soon ish maybe in a year or two, but I can wait because the maintenance of the JavaScript and everything, and the simplicity of the HTML not having to include a backdrop, a container, the like dialog box itself and all that stuff was just a million times simpler. It's just a dialog element and some content in there now, which is a worthy upgrade, I would say, for simplicity, but unfortunately trades off a little bit on the animation stuff.
I'm glad you brought up Brian's tweet, because I read that yesterday I just kept checking the thread because I was really curious what other people had to say. I was a little, as Andrew would say, tilted after my...
I disagree.
Hot wire debacle in my talk. But it was interesting to read the replies, and Matt Swanson had a good reply. Effectively, like, so Brian was saying, like, I've been writing Rails for years. This doesn't make sense. And Matt was like, I think the problem is everyone tries to use all the features of Hotwire out of the gate, but it is about progressive enhancement. And I think the numbers he gave were like, it's probably 85% turbo drive, 10% turbo frames, 5% turbo stream. It's
That was my favorite.
Generic, but it made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we are.
That was my favorite point in the thread as well, because it is really that. And when Turbo came out, it was just, here's the API. Here's a bunch of things you could use with no like guidance on how and when to use certain things. And at one point I was talking to Sean Doyle, who's contributed an enormous amount to Hotwire. And he was like, you should always do turbo frames first, and you should reach for turbo streams only if you have to. And then once you start thinking like that, it's actually a lot of these things do feel very natural and just work pretty well. Like if you're building your index page and you want to have filters and stuff, then the whole page doesn't have to re-render, just that portion of it. And the server also only has to like re-query for that filter and re-render that partial, not the whole layout or that view, but not the entire page and everything. And it can go and update the URL and whatnot. And it's good, but it's also like a very different way of thinking than what you're normally used to, because you're used to full sort of page changes, and then you're doing subsets of pages as if you're working with iframes, which we don't really do normally. So that makes it feel very unintuitive to start learning how to use turbo frames for the first go, which I understand would feel very not Railsy and kind of awkward, but in a sense, it's trying to sort of embrace the natural HTML functionality you have already. It's just a different way of approaching things, but I think it's also another point is that it's definitely still incomplete. Like TurboLinks never really was complete, and we just now got broadcast refreshes, which does a lot of the turbo frame stuff sort of for you in a sense, and can simplify even further. And so it's like, all right, what are the other things that we haven't discovered that we need yet as part of it? It feels the same, like I was talking about those features in Stimulus that are just not 100%. They're like 80% of the way there or something, but the extra 20% could really take it and make it feel super duper intuitive. Like you were talking about Alpine managing the state in the DOM and stuff. I feel like there are aspects of Alpine that should be pulled into Stimulus as well. Like being able to toggle the open value of something without having to call a method and whatever, and have the sort of logic split up in two places. You got to have the action set on the element, and you got to make a quick tiny method in your Stimulus controller. It would be nice to have the ability to just say like this dot open equals false in your HTML right on the data action, instead of having to also define a method or something, like a blend of Stimulus and Alpine. Or when you want to customize a controller, like the drop-down controller, guess what? You got to go build your own controller, inherit from that, add your overrides. Remember that you got to call like super.connect and super.whatever to make sure you call the original stuff from the parent and whatever. And it would be nice if there was just a way to like just make those changes without having to write JavaScript or like edit a controller or something like that. But yeah, in a way, I feel like it's probably also feeling unintuitive in some sense, because we haven't really figured out exactly what the final product looks like. This is still early days, where you compare that to Rails that's been around for how many years now. The API is pretty solid and unchanging, but we never really got that same level investment in development of the client-side JavaScript stuff, and it had a pause for years on Turbo and on Stimulus and on whatever. So we haven't got the same level of development and sort of polish on it.
I've heard Caleb actually talk about this, but I feel like Alpine is what Stimulus could have been and never made it to.
Yeah.
I much prefer Alpine than Stimulus. It feels a lot more powerful. It actually allows you to like write that markup in your HTML markup and not have to bother like, I have to make a controller just to open a dropdown, or I have to do this, just to do that. It just solves
it feels so many
of those little problems and you stay in the same context.
It feels like Tailwind to me, where I'm in the HTML and I'm doing all my design work right there and I don't have to jump between things. And Alpine gives me the same ability. But there are maybe definitely cases where something super complex, lots of JavaScript, might benefit from having a controller that you could extract or something. But for modals, for dropdowns, they're all so basic. They're just, hey, toggle the open state of this, switch this tab, which means hide all the other tabs and panels and just show the one that is selected. And it feels very overkill and takes me out of context, like you're saying, when I'm jumping between things. And because it's able to toggle visibility so easily with X show, it's like, this is amazing, because all I have to do is put that data attribute on the elements and voila, they know how to hide and show themselves. Super nice, super convenient. So it feels like maybe those little features just could be added to Stimulus and it would make a tremendous amount of improvement, just simplifying things. But you might end up with maybe a totally empty Stimulus controller for certain things. That could be a concept, just like a controllerless Stimulus thing. But,
all right, boys, we're building our own JavaScript framework. That's what I've heard here.
Y'all have fun.
It's called Stimulus X.
Yeah, good luck, Andrew.
Oh, shoot.
Mine will just be a JavaScript file that is import Alpine.
Import Alpine. The whole framework. Oh, no. Just map Alpine to STX. our vaporware JavaScript framework. Does this mean I have to go to jail for this? Okay, cool.
Unfortunately.
Pop a cool 25. Sam Brady got sentenced to prison for 25 years yesterday. Chris is looking at me like that. I just spoke gibberish. Okay, cool. I'm feeling self-conscious.
Good.
That's all we're here for.
Hey, very important. Bojangles is opening up in Phoenix.
Dude, Bojangles is clutch.
Bojangles is my favorite.
Shit, I'm going to eat some Bojangles today and I'm just going to have a stomach virus. That's how much
we don't have any of those over here. That should purge everything.
I had Chick-fil-A last night and it did about 2
a.m. Oh, yeah. 2 a.m. Chick-fil-A?
No. So I was really sick. I couldn't even work Wednesday. It was one of the worst bugs I've had maybe ever. I was able to hold down dinner Wednesday night and I was like, all right, I'll take it easy. And yesterday was Shan's birthday. She's like, I want Chick-fil-A. I was like, hell yeah. And then about 1-2 o'clock this morning, I was like, hell no.
I see. Happy birthday, Shannon.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
I sent Shannon an edible arrangement.
Hey, that's my thing.
And they went above and beyond. They brought flowers and like happy birthday, like cupcakes. I spent the whole day like, they don't do things like that. They overcharge for fruits. There's no way they just gave that to us. She was like, oh, these like happy birthday cupcakes are cute. And I was, yeah, they are. And then Brooke, Chris's wife, texted me, is, did Shannon ever get my delivery? And I was like, I like walked around like looking for an Amazon package. And then finally I said, wait, did you send an edible arrangement? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, we both did. And they delivered at the same time. And I've been spending the whole day trying to figure out where this extra came from.
Oh, dude, it's the ADHD freaking birthday gift, bro. It's the edible arrangements, bro.
So Shannon's stacked amazing on some edible arrangements.
That's hilarious. So I guess I won't send y'all another one.
I'm not turning
might
it down
as well. all we do is just put it on the Jason Charnes account.
Yeah. Jason. I even tipped extra because I thought they did us solid.
Delivery guy was like, hell yeah, man. Let's go.
All right.
Peace and good tidings.
Yeah.
Turbo's easy.
Okay. All right. Goodbye.
My turbo stream's strong, baby.